From your world news headquarters on the World Wide Web, it's time for your daily dose of sanity. This is the Maria Heller Show. Maria Heller is a published author, founder of the Universal Wheel, a lifestyle and philosophy based on our interconnectedness to all living things, a Reiki master, and delivers the news with spiritual views. How many intuitive news decoders, animal rights activists, and vegetarian broadcasters are there? Just one. Maria. Maria has provided independent news for a smart audience for over 13 years now on the Maria Heller Show, available at maria.net.
M-E-R-I-A.net.
And now, here is your host, the mouth that roars, Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Hope you're all doing okay. Today is Conversations with David Icke, and I've got David on the line. David, as usual, is a very, very busy man. So let me say good morning to David. Good morning, David.
Hello, Maria.
How are you doing?
I'm good, actually. Yeah, it's been a pretty tiring few years, but, you know, you have periods where you get your second wind, and I think in the period of just getting a second wind and kicking on, and my goodness me, we need to.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, the more I follow the news every day, the more I think about your body of work and how many decades ahead of the curve your writing was and is.
Well, it's interesting. I'm just reading through a book at the moment, which I'm going to make an audiobook. And, you know, it even takes me aback when I read, because, you know, you write it, but it's such a body of work that you can't necessarily remember every sentence you wrote. And even a book that is relatively new in terms of the paper print version, still reading through it a short time really after it came out, it's rather, you know, a head shaker to see how much has happened that book said would happen since it came out. And it's not that, you know, you're kind of some kind of prophet. It's that if you can access the projected agenda, then unless something comes to intervene in it, then you can predict the future, because the only thing that's going to save that future is intervention by people in general. And the idea is not to be kind of constantly proved right, but to have alerted people sufficiently for it not to turn out like that.
Exactly.
And we are in this really, really important few years now. In fact, we're right in it now, where there was always going to be a point where the hidden became seen, and we're now seeing the hidden become seen. You know, up to a little while ago, it was, oh yeah, well, they're planning this, they're planning that. Oh yeah, so you say. But now, It's unless you are completely, utterly addicted to denial, it's very difficult for anyone with a mind in anything like active duty to deny that these things are unfolding. I mean, it's what I talk about in the last book, Perception, Deception, and Lot, is inversion, and this reality is absolutely on every level, for reasons I explain, an inversion of what it should be. And so you see, I mean, the classic inversion is politicians lying, which is an inversion of the truth. And a couple of stories that were on my website in the last week or so shows, and they were right next to each other on the same day, actually, the nature of this inversion into fine detail of our lives. For instance, there was one which was about a simple thing like sunglasses. Sunglasses, what's wrong with sunglasses? Well, what sunglasses do is stop the pineal gland receiving sunlight, i.e. information from the sun, on the scale that it needs to decode and send around the body in all the ways the body needs. Mm-hmm. And connected to this is the fear that has been injected into us of the sun, with skin cancer and whatever, mm-hmm. That keep out of the sun, sunblock your skin so you're not harmed by the sun. Mm-hmm. Well, there's a number of things to this which actually connect into the sunglasses thing. And that is that we need the sun for vitamin D. And if we don't get that, there are a tremendous amount of knock-on health effects. Not only that, emotional and mental effects too, in some cases. And so the more you block out the absorption of the sun from the skin and the pineal gland, less of that you're going to get. And mm-hmm. this goes into another inversion. Fundamental to turning the sun into vitamin D is cholesterol. Now, take this together, and you've got the inversion that you must protect yourself from the sun, and you've got the inversion that cholesterol is bad for you. Mm-hmm. And therefore, there is a lot of health, serious health knock-on effects that come from that. Then there's the other inversion, which is almost kind of laughable if it wasn't serious. And that is, it's not the sun that's giving people skin cancer, it's the sunblocker and the chemicals in it.
Right, cooking into your skin.
And then right next to that was a story about the fact that Monsanto's herbicide Roundup and the chemical content of Roundup is taking the nutrients. Well, what it's doing, it's stopping the soil and the body absorbing nutrients. And therefore, if you've got that stuff in your body, even if you've got the nutrients in your body won't absorb them. It's a nutrient blocker. And when you look at that, and you look at the fact that if you put all the dots together, there is a war on human health and the human immune system, and through that, in many ways, human perception. It's no way that it is a staggering coincidence that this stuff being put on crops, which we then if people then eat, is blocking nutrients and both in the soil and in the body. And then you knock that onto another dot, which is this other war, one of many, upon nutrient supplements and alternative forms of health,
right,
and organic food and organic producers. Then you add to that the chemtrails and the chemicals that are coming from that. Add to that vaccines. Add to that GMO and the other additives in food and drink. Mm-hmm. And all these other electromagnetic impacts upon the body through all this technology and Wi-Fi. And, you can see there's just this multi-leveled attack on the human organism. And it's if it was just incompetence and stupidity, it would be staggering enough, but it's not. At the inner core, it is cold calculation that's going on.
Well, do you think their goal is to just kill us all or make us all into living zombies dependent on them?
Well, I think they do want a considerable reduction in the population, but what they are doing is mutating the human organism. That's what they're doing. If you take this back, then I suggest anyway very strongly that the human body that we have today is actually already manipulated from what it should be, in the sense that it's been genetically manipulated to focus on the five senses at the expense of the greater self. and to be just intelligent enough to be a slave, but not intelligent enough most of the time anyway, to realize that that's what it is. And it's, you know, I feel strongly that within this, what I call biological computer system, the human body, this holographic computer system, there are programs running through it, emotional and mental response programs, which are dictating the perception thoughts of the overwhelming vast majority of people on the planet. Because if you are not open enough to access consciousness beyond the body, consciousness beyond the brain decoding system, genetic decoding system, then all you've got to perceive reality is what is being decoded by this programmed biological computer. And for me, when like the Native Americans talk about the two selves, the two wolves, you know, the wolf that is loving and optimistic and all the things that we'd like to be in the world, and the other wolf, the other self, is arrogance, fear, seeks power, lacks empathy, lacks compassion, wants power over, and all that. For me, those two wolves, those two selves, are actually the program and consciousness beyond the program. And what the body computer is doing, in league with the structure of society, which is structured to pull us into that, if you like, dark negative wolf self, are pulling people into that level of perception, which overwhelmingly is completely dominated by the five senses and that perception of reality. And when you start to open your heart, the heart mind, as opposed to the brain mind, then you start accessing a greater levels of self, more expanded levels of self. And that's the other, quote, wolf that's pulling in the other way. And for me, this whole reality is the manifestation of a, shall we say, an awareness under in many and various ways, manifests in many and various ways, which is actually a distortion. That's what it is. It's a distortion of the natural order. That's why wherever you look, you see inversion, because a distortion is an inversion of balance and harmony. And the balance and harmony that was before, the reality before, has been distorted. And in that distortion has come the world that we live in, the idea that you can justify through economic law that people can die of hunger in a world of plenty, that the latest figures that an organization in Britain called Oxfam produced a few days ago were that the 1% now own 48% of the world's wealth. This is a distortion of the natural order. It's all distortion.
Right.
This is why we have a health system that kills people, why we have an education system that shuts people down and makes them less intelligent, dumbing down education. You know, this is why we have a political system that serves to serve the people while the people serve it. Wherever you look, we have a science that's supposed to seek the to answer the great mysteries, when actually science is there to keep the lid on the great mysteries so that we don't understand the nature of self and reality that we're actually experiencing. Wherever you look, you see inversion. And it's because the whole thing is based on a distortion. And this is why you get people believing that a distortion of so many things is the norm. And when you come in challenging the distortion from a point of view of heart, they call you crazy and mad, because the distortion is their normal. And you see this, Maria, all over human society,
right,
where total insanity is considered credible, sensible, and normal, and basic sanity and wisdom is considered madness. You see it everywhere. It's because it's the distortion.
Absolutely.
And because of that, people throughout what we call history who've come to the fore speaking words of wisdom, and with hindsight, absolutely so, way ahead of their time, they've always been both dismissed through ridicule and attacked through condemnation, because the distortion is the norm, and the distortion in all its forms doesn't want to hear the exposure of the distortion. Mm-hmm. So it's like being born into a madhouse, an asylum, and knowing nothing else. So the madness becomes your norm. And anyone that comes into the asylum and says this is madness, because they've seen that it is from their other perspective, they're considered crazy. This is what you're dealing with all the time. And so many people listening to this will say, ah, I got you, because that's what happens to me when I speak my truth.
Exactly. I mean, you look at, you know, especially on social media, you look at how angry people get based on their control belief systems when you try to put something out there that is truth, and how angry and how vicious and menacing they can get, because I've seen that in the past few weeks more than I ever have.
It's stunning. You get people who come out with these vicious, abusive attacks, who have never done 1.0 of a second of research into the subject they're talking about in their entire lives. People mistake intelligence with memory, in the sense that if you can go through an education system and you can memorize what that system has told you to believe is real, when that memory regurgitates that onto an exam paper and you get a degree, you are considered within the distortion, which is an inversion, so we're talking now about an inversion of intelligence, it sees you as intelligent and clever.
Mm-hmm.
When actually some of the most educationally qualified people I've ever met in my life, some of them journalists, some of them politicians, and some of them in other areas of the system, many of them academics, have actually been some of the most stupid, ignorant people that you could ever come across. Ignorant in the sense of lack of knowledge. And one of the terms that I've used in one or two of my books is the arrogance of ignorance. And you see this. It's a human disease, Maria, the arrogance of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it on social media endlessly, all day, every day.
I know.
Where people are completely ignorant of their subject, but they come on and attack something from a point of view of not knowledge of the subject, but that they've taken the system's version of that subject and taken it to be real, and because they have remembered it, if you like, they then think they're intelligent. There was a guy came on to me. Actually, I don't read comments to social media, except the ones maybe now and again that are very quickly added after I've posted something and I see it. Because it just would drive you up the wall if you did.
Absolutely.
And there are many, many, very intelligent and articulate people who do come on and make very articulate, sensible comments. But obviously within them are the people that are doing it, and being paid for it, because, you know, they have these, massive, software programs now where one person can post simultaneously on different websites under different names, attacking anyone who's getting this information out. I mean, this is actually, you know, the documentation came out a little while ago that was going on. But then again, you've got a vast number of people that are just doing it because they're ignorant. What you see is how the few can control the many when you see these people at work.
Right.
One guy wrote to me, as I was just saying, or put a message saying, all you're doing is criticizing people who are trying to do their best, and that you must have faith that each generation will be a bit better than the next. Well, I mean, if you just study a bit of the evidence, if you just study the background of just some of these people who are, quote, doing their best, and immediately you see, A, they're not, and B, it's not getting better generation after generation, it's getting worse in terms of freedom of thought, freedom of speech alone. But if you're not, if your eye's not on the ball, if you're not actually taking the trouble and having the self-respect to get informed, then that will make sense to you. It makes no sense once you start looking at the situation with a bit of focus, but it makes sense to you because you haven't looked at it with a bit of focus, and therefore you can justify to yourself that view of the world. And, you know, people come on to me and say, I've read your books, and I don't agree with this, and don't agree with that, and don't agree with that. Oh, fair enough, mate. Yeah, okay, fine, yeah, okay. I have no problem with that at all. But, you know, the vast majority of people, they come on, as you well know, with their abuse, and they've not read a single sentence of any book you've ever read,
right.
You've ever written, and thus they have no idea what you're actually saying. So when you talk about reptilian entities, it's like, and same with the mainstream media, with regard to me, they say, he says the world's run by lizards. And that's it. That's as far as it goes. There's no more information necessary. That's it. So therefore, you must by definition be mad. And, you know, what I see, what I see with the so-called alternative media, with very, very honorable exceptions, is that, I mean, because people think of the alternative media as like one entity. It's not. The alternative media is a vast spectrum from almost imperceptibly different from the mainstream, what I call mainstream light, right across to people like me who are questioning every aspect of everything that we've ever been told.
Right.
Not necessarily dismissing everything, but questioning it and see if it stands up. So it's not one thing, the alternative media. It's an enormous spectrum. And I see the same mentality within most of the alternative media that I see in the mainstream. They're coming from a slightly different conclusion of the evidence, but they're still coming from the same basic judgment system. So in terms of me, the reason that I get as much abuse and criticism from the alternative media as I get from the mainstream, which must be some kind of record. Anyway, the reason that I do is because of this. People have a belief system. They have a point of reference. I don't have a belief system. I have a point from which I see the world in that moment. But because if you're not drowning in arrogance, you know that whatever you know within the great infinity of forever, there's always more to know. Always.
Absolutely.
And so you look at religions and you look at politics and so many belief systems, and basically what they're saying is, I know all there is to know or all I need to know. And I was on an interview in Ireland many, many years ago, and he was a religious guy, and I said, well, what about this? What about that? What about that? He said, well, God doesn't want us to know that.
Right.
Well, hello, have you got a direct line, mate? Have you? But that's the idea that you seeking knowledge almost becomes a beyond the norm, or is something to be discouraged, to be abused for, and so what happens is they have a belief system and they judge everything from that perspective. Now, within the alternative media, big time in a lot of the spectrum of and section of the alternative media in America, for sure, it comes from a religious perspective, therefore a biblical perspective, most of it. And then there's another great chunk of the alternative media that comes from the point of view of mainstream science, if you like. That's its perception. Mainstream science is basically the truth. So when you're looking at someone like me that is challenging all religion and challenging the basis of mainstream science, not difficult, and you are talking about things that are outside the belief systems of science and religion, although actually in terms of religion, so much is in these holy books that are telling the truth. They're just not reading it right. I'm talking about entities that operate outside of human sight that are manipulating and possessing human forms and manipulating human society to their end through various hybrid bloodlines that they control within our reality. Well, and you talk to Christians, or maybe, and they'll say that's crazy. Okay, well, what are your demons then? Mm-hmm. And then you talk to maybe a Muslim, and they'll say that's all crazy. Okay, what are your jinn then? Mm-hmm. And what are the Gnostic archons? They're all descriptions of the same force acting in the same way, often using almost the same descriptions. The religious mind takes so much literally instead of symbolic, mm-hmm. it can't see it. So therefore, when I'm doing this and I'm pushing the edge, because I know the edge always needs to move, because we never know everything, therefore the cutting edge must always be moving, they look at me and the first thing they do is they dismiss that anything that I can be saying in this whole area is by definition nonsense. Gotta be nonsense. Because their belief system won't accept that there could be any validity in it.
Right.
So that leaves them only with two ways of explaining to themselves why I do what I do and why I say what I say. One is, he's mad. And the second is, he's doing it for the money. So in terms of some people in the alternative media, both. And the reason is they cannot simply grasp that there can be any validity in what I say. And so what I see with the alternative media mind, with, I say, a considerable number, really, of honorable exceptions, is that they are censoring people, or seeking to, mm-hmm. and they are subjecting people to what I call the same psychological fascism as the mainstream media are. Because the mainstream ridicule or condemn anyone that goes beyond their norm.
Right.
And the alternative media, which you might call the mainstream of the alternative media, ridicules and condemns anyone that goes beyond their norm. Mm-hmm. The only difference between the two is a slightly different norm and a slightly different conclusion from the evidence before them. But, if people don't get some kind of grasp of how reality works, what we are, and the way we interact with reality, that the illusory nature of so-called physical reality, if you don't get some kind of at least fundamental grasp of that, no way are you going to understand the conspiracy. Because the conspiracy that most of the alternative media exposes, and good luck to them, the more the merrier, I say,
right.
But it's still the projection. It's still the outcome. It's not where it's coming from. And anyone that wants to know where it's coming from, the cutting edge must never stop moving, because this the rabbit hole, this is so deep, this rabbit hole.
Exactly.
And, you know, most of the alternative media, certainly, absolutely, the mainstream light part of it, is not even in the rabbit hole. It's walking around the edge, looking down, saying, I'm not going there because my belief system will be trashed if I do.
Right. Well, I kind of figure that it's a mixture of ignorance and fear. And the fear comes in because of their belief systems. You know, believing in something you have no evidence of is kind of stupid if you think about it. And yet these people will fight to the death to defend their statements.
Yeah, but I tell you what, I was talking to someone today, actually, earlier on, Maria. One of the things that a lot of people are very uncomfortable with are states of flux. They get their sense of security from absolutes, from definites. And we are living in a reality of all possibility. There are no definites. They're only what we manifest for a very short time out of all possibility. But they're looking for it. A religious belief system, okay, I've got my head round, that's how it is. The way the world is, the way the world's run, why the world is as it is, okay, I've got my head round that. But for the cutting edge to keep moving, we've got to be in a constant state of flux, a constant state of, well, this is how I see it now, but I know tomorrow I'll see it a bit differently, and then the next day a bit differently, as we go deeper in the rabbit hole and see things from a different angle.
Right.
If you are on this journey with the intent of understanding as much as you can, well, you've got to get used to being without absolutes, without definites, because, you know, you can see something like, you know, you can see manipulation of the banking system, and that seems to be what's going on. But then you go further, deeper in the rabbit hole, and you see that the key pillars of the banking system are invariably Satanists. They're invariably child abusers, but absolutely Satanists. And so suddenly you're looking at the banking system and that which runs it from a different angle to, well, it's just the bankers wanting more money and, you know, and screwing the people for more money.
Right.
They are screwing people for more money. But that is only one level of it. And when you go deeper in the rabbit hole and follow it through to more complex, deeper levels, then suddenly, yes, they are screwing people for money, but the question is why? Because it's not just about bankers and corporate leaders wanting more and more wealth. It's not about that. Of course, that's the outcome, and I'm sure they're very happy with it and would want more and more and more, because that's the nature of the distortion that they call their mind. But actually, control of the money system is not fundamentally, primarily, about more and more wealth. It's control of who has the wealth and who doesn't, so that those with the wealth have the power over those that don't. Mm-hmm. It's about power and control. It's not about wealth in and of itself. And this is why we have now reached the point of, by those figures, of 48% of the world's wealth being owned by 1% of the population.
Right.
What happens then is that the other 99% of the population now has to get by with the other 52% of the wealth, and this is not where they want to end it either. And so you're squeezing the target population more and more in terms of income, money, which means what? Choice, margin for maneuver, ability to decide your own life and where you want to do and what you want to do with it. This is, it's all about control. Because these people, I mean, some of them, I mean, lots of them, certainly in the 1%, they would have to reincarnate 1,000 times to spend what they already have.
Right.
Not that it exists anyway, but I mean, as within our system, it buys things. So it's not just about greed from a money in the bank sense or, you know, 10 mansions. Ultimately, it's about control. And so you can see it as rich bankers wanting more and more money because they're greedy. That's one level of it. You go deeper and you see it's another level. You go deeper and you'll see another level beyond what I've just described. Mm-hmm. This is what I mean by constantly pushing the edge, because if what is happening in the world, if this distortion is being projected from beyond human sight, then what we need to do is understand the nature of where it's being projected from, how it's being projected, and how it is subsequently affecting us in our perceptions. Because unless we understand that process, then we are not going to be able to stop it. We're not going to be able to turn it around, because if you're only aware of the movie on the screen, you're not going to be able to change the movie on the screen. If you're not aware of the projector at the back of the theater, you're not going to be able to do it. And that's where the vast majority of the alternative media is. It's pointing out the conspiracy that they see within the movie on the screen. And this is why they talk about, you know, one level of it anyway, talks about the need to stockpile weapons to fight the bad guys. Mm-hmm. But of course, that's what the bad guys want, because they've got high-tech technology to respond to, you know, anything that the people will have. And of course, all this attack on gun ownership in America is all part of disarming the population and make it even easier. This reality is created in the way that our minds decode reality. What within all possibility we choose to manifest into experienced reality, that's where we change the world, because that's where the world that we don't like is being projected and created. And these are the deep levels that we need to become aware of to change what we want, because we are not going to change a projection within the projection. It doesn't happen. It's not possible. We need to get to the projector, then we can change what we are experiencing, because we're changing the source that it's coming from.
Exactly. David, we're going to take a short break, so stay with us. David and I will be right back.
Wow. One solid hour of commercial-free information thanks to you. The person who wants truth has the integrity and understanding to support it with your donation and subscription. Maria believes people can handle the truth and delivers it tirelessly with those with ears to listen. 14 years on the net. Won't you take a moment right now to commit to a subscription of your choice at www.maria.net. That's MERIA.net. Over 1,100 hours of pure education all in one place, 24/7 and all downloadable. Knowledge is power. Sharing that knowledge is wisdom. Together we can change the world and create real hope. Now let's get back to the Maria Heller Show.
Okay, welcome back. I'm speaking with David Icke, and if you haven't read his new book, you absolutely need to, The Perception Deception. David, I want you to know that I get lots of emails and lots of phone calls from people that have read this book, because they're all desperate to want to talk to you and thank you for everything that they've learned in it. Some people tell me it's absolutely changed their lives. So I want you to know I filter all that for you.
Well, it's very kind of them. You know, I said before when we've had a chat, you know, if I left this world tomorrow, The Perception Deception would still be the best thing I've ever done. Because what happens is, they say the more you know, the more you know there is to know. Well, there might be some truth in that, but also the more you know, the more you know what's relevant and what's just interesting. And therefore, you can leave the interesting and just leave in what people need to know. And although it's a massive book, it's massive because it covers a vast number of subjects and links them all together to show how they all fit together in the same the jigsaw puzzle, if you like. Mm-hmm. And funnily enough, on the 29th of March, I think it's a Sunday, that will be exactly 25 years since I walked into a psychic's front room in a place called Hassocks near Brighton, just south of London, as a BBC television presenter, wanting to know if she would pick up this strange sense of presence that I'd been feeling around me for the previous year. And that's when the messages came through her that I was going to go out on a world stage and reveal great secrets. And I've spent the last 25 years on that very journey. So it's interesting, 25 years since it all began in March, and it's been one heck of a ride.
Right. Well, you can look at that as your new birthday. So I guess that makes you 25 years old.
Yeah, that's right. Well, in many ways it does, because, you know, that run-up period, I can't remember how old I was now, but take 1952 from 1991, you see how old I was. The run-up to that was, yeah, like really everybody who kind of starts to wake up is experiencing the world as it is. And, you know, my life had taken me into soccer, it's taken me into journalism, newspaper journalism, radio journalism, television journalism, politics with the Green Party, if you can call that politics. So it was like I'd seen the world, I'd experienced the world as it is, before you actually start to awaken to the world as it really is. And it is like a birth. It is like a new dawn, because although the experience you've had of the world as it has been for me absolutely invaluable in the last 25 years in understanding so many things, because being there and done it, and especially like things like the mainstream media, I know exactly how it works because I worked in it. I know why it is as it is because I worked in it. And so that's all great. But in terms of your perception of the world, it is literally like being born again into a new world, because as you know, the more you open your mind and you see what you couldn't see before, the more it literally is a new world. It's a different world. The same things are happening, yes. But what you're seeing as a result of them happening is completely different to the way you would have seen it before your mind went bang.
Right.
So it is like being born in a way, yeah.
Yes, it is. You know, I think back, you know, it was up for me. I had so many different careers, but in 1988, when I met Sun Bear, and he introduced me not just to Native American spirituality, Medicine Wheel, but Sun Bear was talking about all these subjects that we talk about. And it was, for me, it was an awakening, because it was topics and subjects I never wanted to know about. But then there it was right in my face, and it changed my whole life.
So Sun Bear, he wrote the books about the Medicine Wheel, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I read those.
He was a fabulous teacher, and I can tell you, from the day I met that man, my whole life changed, and my vision got even stronger, and it was like, well, I guess I can't be like the rest of the world and keep my head buried in the sand anymore. It was obvious I had to shift and learn all the ugly things that most people don't want to learn.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Native American subject is very much, from my perspective anyway, it's very much connected to what I was talking about earlier with the alternative media.
Mm-hmm.
And I see, and I've experienced this over the years, that what we call the New Age kind of arena is in awe of Native peoples, Native Americans, whatever. But for me, things have moved on, and you know, for me, I think that we've got to get out of the what I call in the perception deception the cultural time warp, mm-hmm. Because there are people within these native peoples who have kept the knowledge, like Sumba, and have integrated. I never met him, but I suspect that this is the case. You'll tell me if I'm wrong. Have also integrated that knowledge with the knowledge of today, and integrated the two. They've got the ability to have a foot in this world and a foot in the other world. I found Kreda Mutwa in South Africa, the Zulu shaman, to be just like that.
Right.
And they are special people because they have the ability not only to have the knowledge of the old ways, which were what we're talking about in modern language, symbolized in a different way, but it was the same knowledge.
Right.
But what we, you know, get today is there's a lot of things going on in what are called native peoples, where just like mainstream light, their belief systems are almost imperturbably different from mainstream society. Mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of the knowledge has been lost. There's been a lot of integration into the system by native peoples. I've seen it myself.
Right. I see it too.
A lot of the Kreda Mutwa, for instance, in South Africa, is ridiculed and dismissed as a crazy old man by so many Africans because they've been integrated into mm-hmm. into the system and the system's version of everything. You know, mm-hmm. success is Nike trainers, and so that, you know, it's not, you know, native people good and people today not good. I mean, I remember someone saying to me years ago, a New Age lady, if I knew all the details of the Sundance. And I said, well, I don't know. I've heard of it, but I don't. And she went, you don't know about the Sundance. How can you know anything? And the fact is, she probably was an expert on the Sundance, but outside of that, she knew nothing.
Right.
And it's, again, this cultural time warp. Mm-hmm. I'm sure things like the Sundance and the medicine wheels had a tremendous connection to what we now call quantum physics. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just a different way of interacting with other levels of reality.
Right.
You know, it's integrating the best of the knowledge with the best of the new awareness, new knowledge.
That, right.
I mean, like I say, the cutting edge moving. If the cutting right. edge isn't still moving, mm-hmm. you can't stop the cutting edge moving at the Sundance and the medicine wheel.
Right. Well,
you move on, and
exactly.
you know more, but you can still. And actually, as the cutting edge moves, you understand more and more about what medicine wheels and Sundances were all about. Mm-hmm. You understand what rain dances are about because you're creating a vibration that actually manifests as water falling from the sky. Mm-hmm. They do it technologically now. You can understand more of this if you kind of integrate it with the modern world. And I was in Peru in 2012, and mm-hmm. This guide was taking people around, and he was very much a cultural time warp guy. And almost everywhere we went, he had to stop and have everyone do this ritual, asking Papa Mama for the Mother Earth to enter this place where the stones have been built, this doorway, and I thought, well, hold on a second, that doorway hasn't been built by Papa Mama or Papa anybody. That doorway has been built by human beings. I mean, before that doorway was built, did people walk across this field as it would have been then? And stop and ask Papa Mama for permission to go any further? You know, so many of these things are actually just rituals created as part of the belief system of the day. We're interacting with, quote, Papa Mama all the time, not in one place. Mm. But there are certain things on certain rituals where you can focus your attention, especially if it's at certain vortex points, focus your attention and that connection be more powerful, yes. But we shouldn't get carried away and drown in irrelevant ritual for the sake of it. Otherwise, you know, you're going on never-ending rituals and never kind of coming to any conclusion. You're just going round and round in circles.
Right. Well, one thing that I can tell you, because I did work with Sun Bear, a while, is he was progressive. He didn't limit his teachings to spiritual stuff. He talked about everything you and I talk about. He was the first person to introduce me to Bill Cooper's work, Behold a Pale Horse. I mean, he was all over the place. He was the first person to introduce me to alternative medicine, ASIAC. But, you know, he was ostracized and demonized by his own people because they said he shouldn't share his knowledge with anyone that wasn't Native American, and he basically told them to shove it. So, you know, he was a very practical man.
We're talking the world over because Credo Mutra has had the same abuse from his own people for sharing information with me. When I was in Australia, we came across the same thing with the Aboriginal knowledge being shared with non-Aboriginal people. And for me, I don't care if you're Aboriginal. I don't care if you're Zulu. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're Native American. I care if you've got an open heart and an open mind. And if you have, then that knowledge deserves to be shared with you. Because knowledge is not to be owned. It is to be shared with. Mm-hmm. The time you have to be careful is when there are people that want the knowledge to use it in a negative way. Then, obviously, you're not going to, go out of your way to share it with people like that. I understand that. But there'll be people within the Native American community, within the Zulu community, and with the Aboriginal community who will also use that knowledge for negative and personal ends and gains. So it's not the color of the skin. It's not even the history of the people. It's the state of the heart, how open it is. That's what dictates, and that heart can manifest in any culture, in any religion, in any race. Mm-hmm. And that's what we should be sharing. We should be sharing information on the level of the heart, not on the nature of the hologram.
That's well said, David. We only have a minute left, but I thought you would enjoy this sentence. You might want to use it. It was something Sun Bear used to say, which was pretty in alignment with what you just said. He used to say, taking in knowledge just for the sake of taking in knowledge is a waste of time. He said, knowledge becomes wisdom when you share it.
Absolutely. I have a line that I use. People say knowledge is power. It's not. The use of knowledge is power. Knowledge for knowledge's sake, which when it goes nowhere else and it's shared with no one else, is just another cul-de-sac that takes us nowhere. If you have knowledge and you're not sharing it, if you have knowledge and you're not using it, you are no different to those who either don't have that knowledge or dismiss that knowledge in terms of its credibility and validity. You're no different. Knowledge is a gift, and that gift comes with a responsibility. Share it. Act upon it.
Well, no one can say that you haven't done that or that I haven't done that. David, thank you so much for joining me today, and we'll speak again for sure.
Pleasure, Maria. See ya.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. David Icke, check out his work, davidicke.com, and what he was talking about this isn't knowledge that belongs to any particular race, color, people, whatever. That's basically the whole concept behind my teaching in my book, The Universal Medicine Wheel. So I hope you enjoyed today's show, and I will see you guys tomorrow.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.